Failure is not an option.
What difference at this point does it make?
Nobody said it was going to be fun.
This is Real Talk, a fearless, poignant, and intrepid show where truth speaks louder than words. This is Real Talk with your host, Audrey Russo.
The shame, not of this world, so we live on the run. We keep our eyes set, on what is to come.
It happened before. It will happen again. It's just a question of when.
Time's a luxury we don't have.
Hi, this is Marion Ross. So lovely talking to my friend Audrey Russo. And I want you all to go and buy my new book, My Days Happy and Otherwise. And read the good and the bad about it. And it's been so much fun talking to Audrey Russo.
Welcome back. If you're just joining us, this is Audrey Russo, and you're listening to Real Talk. It's that time again, my fave time of the year, the fall holiday season, and many love to come to New York City at Christmas time and take in a show, but it's hard to know what shows are worth the time, the money, and which are family-friendly. And that's why I'm thrilled to welcome back my next guest, who has all the answers. Lauren Yarger is a syndicated reviewer for Broadway and Off-Broadway Theater in New York and professional theater in Connecticut for Reflections in the Light, the Connecticut Arts Connection, and BroadwayWorld.com. She's a voting member of the Drama Desk, the Outer Critics Circle, and the American Theater Critics Association. She's a member of the League of Professional Theater Women and co-founder of its Connecticut chapter. Lauren is also a producer and playwright member of the Dramatist Guild of America, and she's a book reviewer for Publishers Weekly and a member of the National Book Critics Circle. It's my great pleasure to give a Real Talk welcome back to Lauren Yarger. Welcome back, my friend.
Thank you, Audrey. It's always a pleasure to talk with you.
Oh, it's always great to have you with us, and I can't wait to hear what's... Let's take Broadway here for fall and the holiday season. What do we have?
Well, I'll tell you, this fall, the play is the thing. I have just been really blown out of my seat this fall by some really good plays, and that is always exciting because they are somewhat scarce on Broadway. You know, we don't always have that many plays, straight plays. We have a lot of musicals on Broadway, but, you know, the really good plays are hard to find sometimes in between. But this fall, we've just had a plethora of really great works and good performances and terrific direction, and you know, this is when my job becomes fun. You know, I get to go. I saw two of these I'm going to talk about on the same weekend, you know, so I went from one really good play to an even better play, and it was like, wow. I really like when that happens. It's not fun when I go to two or three plays or shows in a weekend and they're all not good, you know. It's difficult to sit through that. And that doesn't happen all that often because we have some really great plays out there, but every once in a while it does. So it's always, you know, really exciting. It seems like every time I go to the theater this fall for a play, it's really good. So I'm very excited about that. And I think next time we talk, we'll talk about musicals, because a bunch of those also have been opening, but we have limited time. We can't talk for days about these things. So today I'm going to just highlight some of the really good plays that I've seen. And hopefully, if your listeners are in the city this holiday season, this would be, these would be good choices to take in if it's not all about, you know, musicals and that type of thing. They're really great. One I really, really enjoyed is called The Ferryman, and it's written by Jez Butterworth, who we've seen on Broadway before, and he's kind of an interesting playwright. Not everybody gets him, not everybody likes him. And of the plays that I have seen, first we saw Jerusalem with Mark Rylance, which was a fabulous performance by him, if not a more sort of nebulous play that he was in. And then we saw The River a couple of seasons ago with Hugh Jackman, and everyone, you know, flooded to the theater because Hugh Jackman was in it, but no one understood what the play was about. He's very, very layered, very, you know, sometimes I think it's one of those, you either like him or you don't. But this play, The Ferryman, to me was my favorite of the three that I have seen of his, because it really was a very good play. It wasn't, you know, all this, you know, dark stuff and nuance, although there's plenty of that in there, but I don't know, it seems better shaped and molded as far as the play goes so that people can really enjoy the play. But I was just really engaged in this play, which basically it's set in Northern Ireland in the early 1980s, and a family is gathering for the harvest, and they have an annual celebration. But somewhere in the past, one of the sons of the house went missing, and there's this sort of mystery about what happened to him. And his wife and son have stayed on with his brother's family, and it's kind of this delightful mix between what almost seemed at times to me like you can't take it with you. I don't know if you know that play or that,
yes, I love that
film. That was
yes, great.
Yeah, I love that play. It's one of my favorites. It's this weird family, you know. Every member is just kind of odd. You know, it's like any typical family. Everybody has their own quirks and whatever, but they all love each other and support each other. And it's just this fun place to be in their home. And there are moments like that where I almost felt like I was watching You Can't Take It With You. You know, where it's a huge cast. Lots and lots of people on stage, lots of people in the family. There are visiting cousins who come. It's, you know, I mean, it's kind of a lot of chaos that goes on. And, you know, there's a friend, sort of a slow-witted Englishman who lives nearby and helps with the work on the farm. And it's just tons of characters, and all of them are individual and interesting, and it's very fun, you know, at times. And then there's this other underlying sort of darker side, you know, that all is not what it seems. And there's sort of that mystery of what happened to the son, and then his who they believe is his body has been found. So that sort of throws a wrench into the harvest celebrations. And it's very engaging. You find yourself really enjoying this family and being part of the family celebration and getting to know them and to know their issues and the deeper relationships that are taking place there. You kind of can relate to somebody because there's so many different characters. There's somebody you recognize, you know, from your family. You know, there's grandma, you know, there's, you know, Uncle Joe, the jokester who comes to the family gathering, things like that. So by the time you get toward the end, when, you know, you really know who these people are and you really are feeling their angst and their anxiety over, you know, the developments with what happened to this to this son. And it has one of the best, you know, I won't give anything away here, but it does really have one of the best shocker kind of endings to a play.
Now I gotta see it.
But you're so into it, you're so engrossed that, you know, it feels personal, you know, when this sort of shocking ending takes place. So I really enjoyed it. It's a little hard. It's not an easy play to sit through. That, you know, it's not a fun and, you know, kind of play. But if you're into wanting a deeper, intelligent, very engrossing and engaging kind of play, then I highly recommend this one. It has, like I said, a very large cast. Names that you probably wouldn't know, some people making stage debuts, that kind of thing. So no one, you know, no famous film star in it, but it has that much going for it that I think audiences have really liked it, and word of mouth is good, and people are you know, getting over there to see this play. So very, very good. I really, really liked it and recommend it. One I saw that I very much liked, that might have appeal to a lot of your listeners, is an off-Broadway play. It's running at the Public Theater. It's called Mother of the Maid. And it stars Glenn Close as the mother of Joan of Arc. And I thought, well, that's just really intriguing right there, you know. I didn't need to know too much more. But the idea that the story of Joan of Arc is being told from the mother's point of view was very interesting. And the play is just very well written. It's written by Jane Anderson, who, when I say that name, probably your listeners will not necessarily know who that is, but she has written a lot of my favorite films. She's a screenwriter. Mm. She's written a film that I haven't seen, but also starring Glenn Close, that's out now, called The Wife. And so a lot of people may have just seen that. So this is the same writer who's the screenwriter for that. But she also wrote How to Make an American Quilt, It Could Happen to You, the prize winner of Defiance, Ohio. She also directed that one. And she also wrote the TV show Olive Kittredge. So there's a lot of, you know, really good writing background to this writer before I ever walked in the theater, and I was not disappointed. It's extremely well done. And the woman playing Joan of Arc is Grace Van Patten. She is very good in this role, and she and Glenn Close have this terrific chemistry with each other. So it's really fun to watch. This was one of these plays where I kind of just sat back and didn't take notes and just really enjoyed the experience, because it's very real. You know, I mean, we may be looking at characters who are and their lives that are taking place in the early 15th century France, mm-hmm. but it's contemporary, very much so. And, you know, really what we see is this sort of rebellious teenager and her mother. And it's very humorous at times, which is good, because it's such a dark subject. Obviously, if we know the story of Joan of Arc, this isn't going to end well for anybody. But in the meantime, you know, you kind of see that, you know, Joan is this young girl, and she doesn't quite know what to do with these visions that she's having. She can't really feel like she can talk about it to anyone. Her parents are these hardworking farmers. They don't have much. Very simple people, their faith is a very big part of their life. And so she's not even sure how to tell anybody what's happening when she starts having these visions from a saint. And so it's very contemporary when she finally does, you know, talk with her mother and try to tell her what's going on. And, you know, her mother's struggle with, you know, I love my daughter, but she sounds pretty crazy right now. You know, how do I approach this? How do I help her through this? And, you know, Joan goes off and is ensconced at court, and her mother walks hundreds of miles to go there, to be with her, to see her, you know, and it's the devotion of the mother that you can really relate to. And all I kept thinking through this whole play was, it was very similar to the questions that, you know, at least I know I have, and other people I think do, as far as Mary and Jesus, you know, the same kind of thing, like how did the mother, you know, we all know Mary and we know the Bible story and all of that, but how did she ever endure being at the foot of the cross and watching her son go through this horrible experience? And you know, how did she cope with that, and how did she ever go on? There was a whole play about that, and actually I didn't agree with how they anticipated that Mary might have reacted to that following the death of Jesus, but obviously I'm not the only one questioning that. So that kind of thought kept going through my mind, because it's the same kind of idea. You know, at one point she's arrested, she's thrown in jail, her mother goes to jail to try to help take care of her and to plead with the jail keeper to take better care of her. This, and you just, your heart just breaks, because this is what a mother would do. And then, you know, knowing that, you know, there's a part where that her sentence hasn't been declared yet, but there's the anticipation that, you know, she could very well be burned at the stake. And what does that look like, you know, for this poor mother and the daughter, who's also very human and frightened. And it was just very emotionally compelling. And I wasn't expecting, you know, to like it as much as I did, because we've seen a lot of shows about Joan of Arc. We've just had two, a musical, and there was another play, Joan of Arc, you know, but they're all, again, from her point of view. So you kind of feel like you know the story. But this one, because it was told from the mother's perspective, was very different and really, really special. In fact, a lot of people have really liked it. They've sold so many tickets, and they've sold this out so many times. They've had to extend it twice. So it's running through the end of December at the Public. And Glenn Close is really amazing. Just gives it a terrific performance. In fact, across the board, everyone in it is really good. Mm-hmm. The direction is by Matthew Pannett. It's very good. It's a very sort of dark, gloomy set that sets the mood, and everybody just kind of, you know, gives this stellar performance. So another one I just, you know, highly recommend if you're in the city and you're going to be there before December 23rd. I would get a ticket to that. It's really worth it. Really great. And then another really terrific play. Like I said, I've got two more here that I'm going to talk about. Just amazing. We had the Waverly Gallery by Kenneth Lonergan at the Golden Theater. Mm-hmm. And this is a terrific play, which is an older play. I actually had not seen it before. Some other folks saw it in its previous incarnation, and I heard a lot of people comparing it, you know, to the other performance, this kind of thing. So I was fresh. I had not seen anything previous to this. But when I was sitting there watching it, I often have this ability. I take the risk of now people, you know, holding me up and measuring me, but I can usually tell if I'm sitting in a play, I can tell if it's a Pulitzer Prize winner, because, you know, if I'm seeing a new play and I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, geez, this is probably going to win the Pulitzer. It usually does. So when I was watching the Waverly Gallery, I thought, this is kind of a Pulitzer Prize winning feel to me. And it had been a finalist back in the day when it was first produced. So it's a very good play. It's about this elderly woman who's had an art gallery on Waverly Place down in the Village. And it's really not a very exciting gallery. The artwork that's in there is just not very good, and she's not really sold any paintings. It's just kind of a thing that she's done. It used to be more prominent in its day when it first opened, but it's just been kind of hanging on, and she's sort of hanging on. She's losing her ability to remember things. She's entering sort of a dementia time in her life, and her family is kind of not knowing quite what to do about it. And again, this is such a riveting play because, again, you can relate to the issues that are going on. I mean, either you see yourself in Gladys, or, you know, you're the family member trying to decide what is the best course of action to take care of your parents, you know, this type of thing. So it's very, very gripping issues that they're dealing with. And she, and during the course of the play, gets progressively worse. So you have to, you know, you can't but feel for the family and what they're trying to do. And she's aware that this is happening to her, so that makes it even more difficult to watch. But the role of Gladys, the older woman, is played by Elaine May.
Oh, really?
Who gives a fabulous performance. I mean, I thought she was terrific. Very natural, very much this character. And you can see the degrees as she starts to, you know, descend into the unfortunate depths of her dementia. You can see it. You physically can see the difference. She's just amazing. And she hasn't been on Broadway for a while, but your listeners may know her from back in the day. She's a screenwriter, and she was a comedy team with Mike Nichols. They performed on radio, and she won an Emmy, you know, or a Grammy or whatever, you know, and also was on TV. And I mean, they did a whole lot of things, and she, you know, she penned a lot of movies like Heaven Can Wait and Primary Colors, The Heartbreak Kid,
A New Leaf. That was a really good one too. She was in that.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. It just goes on and on. So I mean, she's quite a prolific writer, you know, as well as a performer. So anyway, she's just amazing. She will definitely, mark it down. She will definitely be nominated for a Tony Award for this performance because she's just amazing. Gladys's daughter is played by Joan Allen, who is phenomenal. She is so good in this role. She is so conflicted as the daughter. You can just relate to what she's feeling. She wants so much to do what's best for her mother, which is to move her in with her and her husband, who's played by David Cromer, by the way, one of my favorite directors, but not wanting to do that. You know, she you know, her mother kind of can irritate her and get under her skin, and she just knows that once she moves her in, you know, she's just not going to have a life of her own anymore. So she's very conflicted because she feels guilty about that and really, you know, doesn't want to feel that way, but does, but yet knows that her mother cannot continue on her own. And for a while, they try to have their son, who's played by Lucas Hedges, making his off-Broadway, I think it's his debut off-Broadway, I'm not sure. He's more known for his film roles and TV roles.
Right.
I had not seen him before on stage, but he plays this very affable grandson who lives in an apartment next door to the grandmother, and they try to see if that will work for a while, but he's driven mad because his grandmother is constantly coming over and ringing his bell and asking him, you know, for something in the middle of the night, you know. And again, it's the same kind of thing, you know, you can see that this boy loves his grandmother and wants to do what's best for her, but he just can't cope after a while, and then he sort of turns it back over to his mother, saying, I can't do this anymore. And so it's just compelling because, again, you can relate to somebody in there, you know, if you've dealt with elderly parents and what to do and whether they need to go to an assisted living facility or if you need to move them in the in-law suite or, you know, all of these issues that come up with those decisions. And then, again, the most compelling is Elaine May as this poor woman who doesn't want to be a burden to her family, but understands that she slowly is becoming one, and she can't do anything about it, and she has no control anymore over her mind or her memory, and so upsetting. Mm. Even another person enters the fold at one point, who's a guy who's having his art displayed at the gallery. It's not very good art, but she agrees to display it at the gallery, and he kind of ends up being a sort of semi-caretaker. They do everything they can to try to avoid having to move her from her own place and out of her own independence. And so anyway, just a very moving play. This playwright has had some other plays that this is Our Youth and Lobby Hero are his, and I would say, again, this one really stood out to me of the ones that I have seen of his work. It's really very good. People who don't follow stage playwrights that much might know him. He also wrote the Gangs of New York film. Mm-hmm. So it's got that kind of tough underpinning, but there's some real human qualities to these characters, and there's a lot of humor. So it offsets it. You're not sitting there depressed the whole time you're watching this play. You're just really feeling for these people more than anything else.
Well,
yeah. And then I've got a fourth play. I don't know if I've ever been able to do that. Four plays that I can talk about that I really loved.
Yeah.
This last one is American Son, and it is starring Kerry Washington and Stephen Pasquale. Now, Kerry Washington, you may know from TV. She's the main person in the TV show Scandal in Shandaland there.
Mm-hmm.
And Stephen Pasquale is one of my favorite actors on stage. He's a really good actor, but he's a terrific singer. The only thing wrong with his play was it didn't have music, so he could sing something. But they are really a terrific team in this play, which is based in a Florida police station. And Kerry Washington's character has come there because she got a message that her son's car was involved in an incident. And she's trying to find out what that is and what has happened and where her son is, who was driving the car, because they haven't said anything about him, just that the car was found and it was involved in an incident. So she spent some time with the police officer and gets nowhere. I mean, really can't find any information out from him about where her son is, if he's okay, what's happened. And you kind of, it's very, very tautly written, so you kind of quickly are feeling for her, because again, any mother is going to be very concerned about this. She's at the police station. My son is, I don't know where, I don't know what's happened. And her husband arrives and we find that they are a biracial couple. Stephen Pasquale, obviously, is white. And so they have been separated, and there are some problems in their marriage. And so while they're waiting, they are back and forth with each other about different things. And it becomes apparent that there are some issues about their son's race, even between them. So they're having enough trouble with the police officer, you know, who's white, who's kind of refusing to give them information. But then they also have their own issues. So the thing I really loved about this play, which is written by a playwright I did not know, his name is Christopher DeMose Brown. He's an attorney who's become a playwright, and a lot of his plays are about racial issues.
Mm-hmm.
The thing I really liked about this play was it wasn't an agenda play. Seeing too many of those, you know, that seems like every other show that we have coming out is an agenda show, an agenda play. It's, you know, assuming that everybody in the audience agrees with this agenda and we're going to just, you know, ram it down your throat kind of thing.
Right.
It was not like that at all. It was more about this couple and about their issues and about the racial issues that are part of their marriage and a part of their relationship. This man is very successful. He's a very wealthy businessman. This boy has had every privilege growing up. He's gone to the best schools. His mother, you know, who came from, you know, not from that background, you know, has tried to educate him about what it is to be a young black man in our society today, and, you know, what he needs to do to be safe and all these kind of and there's sort of a disconnect between this couple about that and whether that's necessary or not, you know. And so it's very interesting. And the way that the police officer interacts with this black woman as opposed to the white man is very telling. And so, I mean, a lot of it is just you can draw your own conclusions without, you know, somebody having to tell me, okay, now this officer is, you know, is this way, and we're going to portray him in this way. It's just kind of, that's kind of who he was, and this couple is just kind of who they are. So I really liked the way it was presented. And then there's another character who plays a more senior police officer who does come with some more information. And as more information comes in, the worse it gets, and the more anxiety is put on this couple about what, you know, what has really happened with their son. Mm-hmm. So, and then at one point, the father becomes so agitated that, you know, he's taken into custody. So it's just very interesting. And it's very complex in terms of the character development and the issues that are being discussed. But again, like I said, not as a, okay, we're just going to, you know, talk about issues. It really was a human drama that takes place. Almost everybody who I've talked to who has seen this play is very surprised at the end. Another maybe this is what makes a good play. I don't know, that you're so engrossed and engaged that when you get to sort of the end of the play, you're shocked at what is taking place. So, again, very, very good. Very good performances. Excellent direction by Kenny Leon. I really, really recommend it. The guy who's playing the one police officer is Jeremy Jordan, who, again, people might know from Flash and Supergirl and Smash and things like that. And then he's been in some movies, the movie version of Newsies. And he's had some of these roles that have not really, he hasn't had a chance to really step out and shine. But in this play, he really does. So I'm anticipating that he might get a supporting actor nomination there, too.
Wow, I've never heard so many plays. This is awesome. But Lauren, where can the listeners follow and support your excellent work?
You can find most of these reviews on Reflections in the Light.
And as always, I'll have links and where they can follow you on social media in my after show, which is now on the live show page. Just go to AudreyRusso.com, click on the On Air button, and right under the show description, you'll find those links and the info that Lauren has just shared. Lauren, thanks so much for doing all the arduous work for us. It's artistic work as well, and we look forward to your return to the show because you know your stuff. Until then, may God bless you, your work, and may God save America. Bye for now.
Thanks,
Thank you.